Welcome back. This is part three of our CFC podcast on the idea of community and life in church together, looking through all of the great stuff that we've covered so far about intergenerational, about being for each other and being for the other. And we're sort of going to conclude this final part. Jill Boyd's with us again, by the way, of course.
Hi.
Hey. And we're going to think about the early church. We're going to, as I guess, we want to be as CFC community formed and shaped also by the good that we see there. But also we want to be realistic and we want to be truthful about the entirety of the early church community and not just like on the really, really good things. And then we want to just track through that conversation and see where we go in terms of what happens perhaps in community when there is difficulty. Because while we want to be a Christ-centered community, we understand that as we try to do that, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to get things wrong. And the church is not a perfect place. But together, we want to strive, actually, as Christ has called us, to be perfect as I am perfect. So we want a journey to that. And we'll do that together and in community. So like, Jill, early church, if I was just to say to you, like, early church, what, I suppose, in our church tradition, like, what are the sermons we've heard? What are the stories we've heard? Like, what's our go-to when we think of the early church?
They're just, like, together all the time. They're eating, they're praying, they're worshipping.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know, like singing Kumbaya around the campfire and having s'mores, right?
Yeah, I mean.
You get this sense that they are very, like, they're family.
Yeah.
Friends that are family.
Yeah.
With Jesus at the center. And we paint this picture. This is brilliant. This is what we're working towards.
Yeah.
But in fact, maybe as we journey through Acts, we realize that actually it's not all that.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think my addition to that would be like, there are elements that we look to which are really, really good. Like, you know, they are together, you know, they are with one accord and
devoted to the word and scripture.
Yep. So they're doing like,
which is why we do a Sunday service. The way we do a Sunday service is probably some of these principles.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We're being
and the ritual and the habit of that, which are important to remember. Not all habits are bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
Not all ritual is bad. We are habitual ritual people. Like, let's be honest, you know, that's who we are as humans, and there's structure to our design and there's structure to who we are. And so it stands the reason that there will be structure and there will be rhythm and order to our services as we meet as church, both in, you know, in a building on a Sunday or through the week, however we do that. And the early church, certainly we're doing that. But have we made perhaps an idol? You know, it's like almost, you know, why can we not be more like the early church? You know, and is there a danger there, perhaps, that we move into idolatry around the early church?
I think potentially, because I think if we have that as the standard, like, we just need to walk into any church building and know that it's not all rosy.
Yeah,
because people are involved, right?
Yeah,
and where there's people, it's messy.
Yeah,
and yeah, so it's expectation. So if we read scripture and we build this expectation, this is what church should be like. This is what the family of God should be like. And there is a reality. It should be.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to own that.
Yeah. We want to own it, because there should be something where there is a deep love for one another, where we're devoted to each other's growth. We're devoted to another. We've talked about laying our lives down.
Yeah.
We're expecting that, right? If we read scripture, It's almost like, have you ever been like on holiday and the brochure, even my Heidi, let's take McDonald's for a massive example.
Right, and other fast food
and
outlets
are available. The burger that is presented, looks incredible, right?
Yeah.
It looks incredible. Like the lettuce and the bun falls down and the water splashes off this freshly washed salad. And then she has been known to open her burgers like, this looks nothing like the picture.
What is this?
Like, what is this? And all the elements are there, but it's not quite right. And it's not quite what I bought into. And I think we have to own that when we read scripture, it paints.
And the McPlant, of course, as well,
for
our vegan listeners. That's important.
Also a community.
Okay, yes,
they're
very much
amazing
so. Yeah.
Evangelists, can we just point out? Because yeah. How do you know that someone's a vegan? Because they tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we could learn a lot about evangelism yep. from their life, yep. style, agreed. And choices.
So you have this, like, this idea, this image.
Of what it should be.
Of what it should be.
And then we experience something that's not that.
Yes.
And it all yeah. comes tumbling down.
Yeah. And of course, the reality is, like, obviously you just go a couple of chapters after this wonderful description of the early mm-hmm. church and how they were sharing with one another. And can I also say this to our listeners, like, and our CFC church family and other church families, you know, there are times where we do this really well. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I got an email actually last week from a mother of somebody who's who just really appreciated the love and care that was shown for her daughter and her husband when they went through a really difficult mm-hmm. time. How every night, opened the door, meals were made. You know, mm-hmm. so there was the sharing of each other in that sense, and it really made an impact. Well, obviously, so much to this lady that she felt she needed to, mm-hmm. you know, like send an email in, and it was a wonderful email to receive. You know,
yeah.
and. Sometimes not all emails that we receive
as
pastors of churches are wonderful, but this is a wonderful email. And it was
did
great.
Did you keep it? Did you store it?
Absolutely. It's
moments.
One of my favourites. I favourited it and moved it into a folder of favourites. No, I didn't. But it was great. But I think we want to also like honour and recognise. And I sit here as someone on this lovely stool, again, for those who are listening on a podcast, this lovely stool in this great... this great church who has benefited of the love mm-hmm. of my church community for the
yeah,
last, you know, 15 years. And mm. I know you have too, Jill. And so the reality is we do have this expectation. It's not always met, but at times it is. And when it is, we want to also honour and recognise that. And we don't always just like, oh, church doesn't or church isn't. And why isn't it like this? And all of those things. And I think, yeah, part of it is because we have this expectation of what the early church was doing. But we discover actually a few verses later that not everybody was sharing everything. And mm-hmm. obviously the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And, yeah. you know, it's pretty brutal story. It's a pretty harsh story. Mm-hmm. It's like really, really hard hitting. But we do discover that actually, you know, it's not this perfect idealistic idol that mm-hmm. that we can maybe make it. But do you think that leads into, maybe takes us into our next sort of chat around then, expectation?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that some of the issues in church community is down to this aspect of what are we expecting, you know?
Yeah. But does that even go back, though, to our very first discussion? That, because yeah. here's the thing, our expectations, the expectations that I have, are all about me.
Right? Oh, yeah, good.
No,
okay.
Do you know what I mean when I'm saying yeah. that? So, like, I'm expecting this to happen.
Yes. Okay.
And the reason I'm expecting it to happen is because it serves me. Mm. Never do I, like, let's be honest, and I'm talking to myself, do we walk into rooms mm-hmm. and is our expectation that we're bringing something? It's never about what we're bringing. The expectation is always about what we're receiving. And maybe that's the upside down kingdom that Jesus wanting to flip inside all of us.
Yeah, that's good.
I just went down on another segue of like.
Yeah, but it's good because there is a conversation, and a sort of I think the Spirit is speaking to the church in and around this in a local and global sense around this idea of contribution and not consumption.
Yeah,
how the church. For many, it's almost imitated culture mm-hmm. that we go to consume.
Yeah.
And like, we've got to be really honest, like Jill, don't we? Like we, as people who are often on stage or maybe on a platform, even that language, isn't it? It makes me uncomfortable a little bit at times.
I know.
And then there are consumers, you know, and then at times, you know, I sit and consume as well. Like, you know, even had comments on Sunday about, people wondering, were the worship leaders professionals? You know, professionals, because they were so good. No, they weren't. They were just so good.
Yeah.
But isn't it so easy, isn't it, to because of talent and gifting mm-hmm. and all of these amazing things that we have and resource that we can consume? And
but that's in our culture.
Yeah.
I honestly think what made this even more tricky in this last season was church online. Like, I really valued church online, but actually... whenever I sit in my living room with my TV on, I'm instantly a consumer. Yeah. And it was much harder to participate because I'm turning up to get. Yeah. Every time I'm turning up to get, I'm turning up to get. Everywhere I go, I'm turning up to get. But the message of the kingdom is like, you're turning up to give.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, that was really hard to do online because you weren't allowed to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like participation was very limited.
Yeah.
So like, I think that was the hardest part about church not together, was because there was no space to give.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that, you know, as we move, obviously online church is important. We're not going to obviously do a podcast now on it, but it still has a place for connection.
It is connection, yeah, for sure.
And it is keeping a community together who can't, for whatever reason, be there,
be present in
person. So it has value and the purpose of that's really important.
I think that's really good, though, to highlight that the goal of it is to connect, not to consume.
Yes.
So you can still connect online.
Yeah.
But it's much easier to consume online.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think connection and not consumption is the posture and heart of us all.
In person and online.
Exactly. I think that's important. To go back to this idea of expectation, often when community or when church doesn't meet our expectation, which as you know, I've drawn out, and I agree with, I think, you know, this idea of, well, it's my expectation itself, mm-hmm. isn't it? And I suppose the reality is, as we discover, not just in Acts about the early church, but through the New Testament, we discover actually that there's disagreement. Mm-hmm.
Imagine
there's disagreement about theology.
Yeah.
You know, there's disagreement about like distribution of support to the poor and the widows and how that's done and how that's managed and the administration. So there's difference in strategy, mm-hmm. as well.
And people who want certain people to be involved, and there's those conversations.
Yeah. So in many regards, we also see a lot of what we see in the modern church. In the early church too, mm-hmm. and I think we've got to be honest. And I also think, I don't know, I kind of get encouragement about that sort of thing. Like, we're not the only ones who mess up.
They had arguments, you know what I mean? So do we. Yay! Yeah. No, it's true though. It is. Because the gospel still moves forward.
Hey, isn't that true? Yeah.
Right. Like, in spite of us.
It wasn't about the early church being perfect, actually.
For perfection to come.
For perfection to come and for Christ to... For the good news of the gospel, mm-hmm. The kingdom to spread, and also like in their imperfection, they were still having a massive impact, weren't mm-hmm. they? Like, you know,
it's the grace of God, right there.
Yeah, yeah, and like it led the, you know, various letters you can read from, you know, Roman emperors, and they're writing about this movement that's growing, and some of the things they're saying are like, you know, like amazing, like, mm-hmm. you know, these guys actually love and serve not just their own people, but they serve and love our people too. Yeah. And it's sort of like this idea of going, this is actually shaking an empire.
You even think of like martyrdom and then persecution, they try to kill the Christian faith, and actually what they end up doing is igniting it even more. So people are willing to die for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and it becomes this exciting, passionate thing. They're literally laying down their lives for the sake of the gospel.
They're following Jesus.
Yeah.
You know,
quite literally.
Quite literally. Like, you know, when Jesus says that really radical, like, horrific phrase, actually, you got to take up your cross, mm-hmm. and follow me. Like,
scary.
That, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, what the cross meant for those people, hearing that at the time was a shock. Like, mm-hmm. that was a hardcore thing for Jesus to say, you know. Anyway,
it's good.
You know, and also this idea as well, didn't they? The New Testament church, you know, who's the best? You know,
which one are you following? Are you Apollo?
Who gets the position?
Yeah.
Who's right? Who's wrong? You know, obviously the disagreement with Paul and Barnabas with John Mark, you know, we can see so much of their humanity, of their community together, like following Jesus. And acknowledging and recognizing that there's problems and there's difficulties as we do this, but mm-hmm. that does not mean that you don't do it together.
Yeah.
You know, you journey it together, you walk through it together, mm-hmm. You acknowledge the differences that you may have with somebody, but you do it again together because we are a Christ-centered community. Mm-hmm. And so do you think there's something in and around that about like this idea of not focusing on what we don't agree on or what we are disappointed in?
Yeah.
And actually focusing on Christ and what we do agree on.
Yeah. I think that's important. I think it's so important for the sake of relationship. It's like sometimes you're just not going to agree. And sometimes there's things that are, there's going to be right and wrong. And we can argue all day.
Yeah. So the expectation, let me just clarify, the expectation is that you do agree, but actually the reality is you're not going to. So actually it's the expectation that needs to be realigned.
Yeah. So then is my expectation, so this is a good conversation, when I come into a room and I think I'm right and the way I want to do things, this is the way it should be done. Like if you're in church any length of time, you'll know there'll be someone else who also thinks that their way is the right way. And this is the way you do things. And it's completely opposite to you. So what do we do in those moments? Because is my expectation, do I come into that room then going, well, my expectation will be met when you don't do it the way you want to do it, you do it the way I want to do it. And then I'll be all happy because that's my expectation met.
Yeah.
Is that that's not laying my agenda down. My expectation becomes about everyone thinking like me and everybody behaving like me and everybody thinking the way I think.
Yeah.
That's where disappointments comes and set, and like unmet expectations come in.
Yeah.
So if I'm called to lay it down and to believe just maybe there is another way to do it, and maybe that person's opinion is really valid, and is this about me being right, or is it about me staying connected? I always think it's really interesting, you know, like we literally had to change our dinner set. Only because if I want my...
You have a dinner set?
Do you know you have a good set and a bad set and all of that?
I mean, I'm going to say yes.
So when like...
But no.
No, so like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we do.
No, but there's like the everyday wear.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Yes, that you bring out for visitors and that type of thing.
And we recently had to change ours because, the kids are doing dishes now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. So they're like breaking stuff.
All the time.
Yeah, chipping things. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So if I need a job done in the house, I have to lay my expectation down that it is not going to be done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The way I want it to be done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But we're a family.
Yeah. It's good.
Right. I can't kick my family out of the house.
Yeah. Keep going. All the time. That's really good. Yeah.
So that it's done my way.
Yeah.
Right. And nothing's broken and everything's perfect. And when I say clean the bathroom, what does clean the bathroom actually look like?
Yeah.
Or are we modeling participation and inclusion? Actually, you're part of this family. So we had, like, from the girls were tiny, like, it was a family affair to empty the dishwasher. Even when Heidi was toady, she can do the cutlery. Mm-hmm. You can participate in this. Now, is it done? Right. Sometimes I find forks in the spoons and the spoons. Yeah. And I maybe have to rejig it. But am I going to rob her of participation because she can't do it as well as me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's a big conversation.
How is she ever going to be able to do it? Well, unless she participates.
And who's to say my expectation is the right one?
I mean, at the end of the day, who cares if a fork's in the knife drawer?
True.
Actually.
So what are the things we fight off are actually sometimes don't matter?
They
don't matter, which is back to then that thing. Do we just center ourselves around what we do agree on? Mm-hmm. Because typically, like unless it's a huge theological debate, the stuff that we really fall out of church experience with is sometimes the stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's style and preference. Maybe
style and preference.
It's a good point. And I love actually what Paul writes on this. And I think this is really, really important to know as we follow Jesus. This aspect in Philippians 2, and just to sort of finish our podcast maybe around this idea of of Jesus, who was in the very form of God, but did not consider robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. It talks about this emptying of himself, this word in the Greek, this kenosis, mm-hmm. where he, because you used the phrase, and that's what sparked this off in my thinking, Jill. You said, talked about laying down your right. Mm-hmm. Like nobody models laying down his right to be right.
And he was right. That's the whole point. Sometimes we're not even right.
No, exactly. Yeah.
And so, he's the fulfillment of right.
He's all the right. Isn't he? He's all the right that there ever has been. He's all the right that there ever is. And he's all the right that there ever will be.
And lays it down.
And lays it down. You know, even to the point of his death, even to the point of his accusers and the whole talk about expectation and reality, actually. What about this for a thought? Jesus never met anybody's expectation apart from the Father's.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
All this expectation about Messiah, all this expectation about the way to do it, mm-hmm. right? To transfer that into our way. But no, but you should do church this way, or no, but you need to preach or speak this way, or you need to worship this way, or you need to include people. You know, all these things that, oh, but it should be like this. You know, Jesus, I think, also had that, and yet
he's so gentle, though.
Gentle in how he doesn't meet those expectations, and gentle in how he lays down his right to be right. In fact, he lays down all of his rights, which ultimately is our model for community, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. What would that look like? Everybody's walking in, laying down the right
to be right.
To be right.
Yeah,
that sounds like a transformational community to me, right?
Yeah, I think I want our church to go after that. I think it would be a great.
It's a personal challenge, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Jesus' journey.
It begins. It begins with us as we follow his creed, as we follow his way, as we follow his life, his teaching, and ultimately as we take up our cross. Because that's a cross, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to lay down your right to be right.
Self-sacrifice.
Yeah. Hey, Jill,
good
it
chats.
Has been a blast, this mini-series on community, and we look forward to our next CFC podcast in the near future.
Yep.
But it's been great chatting to you, and thank you so much for your conversation.
Thank you so much.
Be
Keep
blessed.
Digging in.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.